And welcome to Small Screen Justice, a podcast about superhero TV. I'm Dan.
And I'm Jesse, and today we're discussing Season 1, Episode 5 of The Flash, entitled Plastique, as well as Season 3, Episode 6 of Arrow, entitled Guilty.
Guilty. Alright, so since we're talking about two shows this week, we are just going to dive into the shows instead of doing news. So we're going to start with Flash. What do you think of Flash this week?
I would give it a BB+, which I think is the same as what you're giving it.
Yep.
I thought that there was a lot of really good characterization in this show. I thought there was a lot of great humor. I think that it has some issues that we'll get into in a bit, but overall I thought it was a great episode, though not the peak of the season so far.
Yeah, I definitely think that it wasn't as good as last episode, but it was definitely, like you said, great funny moments, great character moments, some really cool cliffhanger stuff, but definitely some stuff that kind of made me bored and was very tried and true superhero tropes that I wasn't that excited to see again. But getting into my positives, the first thing I loved was just the use of Barry's powers in this episode. You know, dealing with it was great because they were at the bar and I was immediately like, oh my god, is he not going to be able to drink? And then they totally went there with it, and I thought that was really fun and interesting, and you know, it was a fun little, not relatable, but like gave him, you know, something you could relate to, wanting to get drunk. And
yeah, like Barry was so sad about not being able to drink. It was great. He was like, I'm 25, I've never been able to get drunk again. I just graduated college, god.
Yeah, no, that was really funny, and I loved the I thought it was a great bonding moment at the end with them creating like the super drink. That was fun.
That makes no sense because 200 proof is literally all alcohol, and she said it was 500 proof.
Yep.
whatever. I'm sure they knew, and they were just like.
And they also had some other really great things with the vocal cord thing, him running up the building, walking on water. All really cool.
Speed reading, remember when he's going through the files?
Yeah, totally. Cool. No, great. Yeah. I love seeing a superhero just, like, totally used in all these great, cool ways and comical ways, and really showing all of his superpowers is really awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Because Flash is, like, one of the most powerful superheroes that I think we've, or at least in terms of, like, the powers that he uses regularly, he's one of the more powerful superheroes that we've actually seen.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
the only person
even in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, and yes, definitely on television. I mean, even when Superman was on TV, he was at like his low level of Superman until the end, in Smallville. So yeah, no, it's really cool seeing all these things happen. I know you love the vocal cord thing. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, my favorite scene of this episode, I think, just thinking back to it, is the one where he's talking with Joe. And he tells him that the Flash talked to Iris, and Joe asks, how did you
disguise your voice?
How did she not know it was you? And he shows him, and then Joe's absolute cackling laugh.
Yeah.
And then he like laughs again before he leaves. He's like, your voice is hilarious.
Yeah, no.
I'm glad we can all agree.
And I guess like it was cool that they, you know, came up with that idea, and it was a cool effect, and a great,
absolutely.
And it was hilarious. And that whole scene with Joe is definitely positive for me. Him knowing about Iris and just sort of their father-son chats are some of the best father-son stuff I've seen on those kinds of shows.
Yeah, and also the thing that I do really like about the voice also is because there are so many voice changer using people on Arrow.
Yeah,
it's getting pretty old. Like even Cooper used a voice changer for no reason because he was about to reveal his identity.
Yeah,
but he had one anyway.
Yeah,
so I like that they're doing it in a different way. The one thing that I did have like a slight issue with is that his voice isn't that different, and he's talking to some, and like when he's talking to Iris, he's talking to someone that he's known throughout his life.
Yeah, well,
but you know, it's not that big a deal.
Yeah. So let's talk about Plastique. Well, I really enjoyed Plastique because it was a different take. Like we've had like these villains of the week, and she wasn't even really a villain. She was just a metahuman, and sort of dealing with her tragedy. And I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought so. I did like a tiny, tiny bit of research into Plastique afterwards because I was just curious before I talked to you.
Yeah.
And she's never been a hero of any sort before, right? Mm-hmm.
As far as I know. Well, I mean, she's part of the Suicide Squad, which is like sort of hero-ish. Yeah, like.
Yeah, but oh no, I looked up. They said she'd only had one outing with the Suicide Squad on Wikipedia. But anyway, yeah. So I'm curious because she dies at the end of the episode. We think.
Yeah.
Like she's definitely coded as dead to anyone who doesn't know the character.
Yeah.
Like I totally thought that. Oh wow, she's dead already. And then you told me that she's a really big character, so it's unlikely that she's actually dead.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it came off like how in early Arrow they killed off Deadshot, and I was like, there's no way he's actually dead, you know?
Yeah. So, we'll see. But I'm just interested because she has really important information that she almost got out.
Yeah.
So if she comes back, I feel like what's going to happen is either she's going to be immediately apprehended by the military, and then like they are going to su successfully warp her into a weapon that then she'll become like actually bad, or it'll just be a completely new take on Plastique, and she'll like reveal things to Barry if he hasn't already figured it out about Wells.
Yeah.
Which could be interesting. I think her character reminded me a lot of Rogue in the X-Men, actually,
Yeah. All right,
like
so
really
actually,
strongly.
I forgot to write this down in my negatives, but Plastique's powers don't make a lot of sense to me when you think about it, unless I missed something. But like, she's like worried because she can never touch anyone again, right? So how does she eat food? How does she sleep on a bed? How does she walk around without exploding her clothing?
I think
Like,
that, remember she went to the doctor and he said, like, I was trying to help you, you couldn't control it.
yeah.
I think that before her operation, she had no control over it, and now she has some, but, like, it's a
Dangerous.
touchier Bruce Banner type thing where, like,
Yeah.
she, was shocked when Flash ran in front of her, so she, like, accidentally turned his suit into a bomb. Or
Yeah.
maybe it's also a material thing, because it sort of seems like she touched his emblem
Yeah.
specifically.
Well, I think the first thing they said was something about like making inorganic material and explode. But then I don't really get why then she can't touch other people. I don't know. It's
Yeah, it's a little unclear,
yeah,
for
but I mean,
sure.
which is fine. It didn't really bother me that much, but it was a little confusing. Definitely had a rogue type thing. I'd be pretty surprised if there wasn't another Suicide Squad episode of Arrow coming up, and I would not be surprised if next time we saw Plastique, it was on Arrow, and that she
Yeah.
was apprehended by Waller. But yeah, no. So I mean, I hope if she actually died this episode, if like 10 episodes from now we look back that she actually died, then this. My grading probably would have been lower,
Yeah.
but it's no way to really know. But I loved the Wells stuff this week, though, with him talking to her and getting her to
Yeah, I found it a little unconvincing that she would so readily like,
go with it.
yeah, that she was like, no, yeah, that seems like a great idea. I gotta go kill Isley.
Yeah.
So I thought it was just sort of a weakly written scene. I
Yeah.
thought all the acting was good and like it almost sold it for me, but I just didn't believe that she'd be convinced that
Yeah.
easily.
Yeah, okay, I can get that. Especially considering, like, maybe earlier when she thought that he'd done it to her, but, like, that once she knew that it wasn't Eiling's fault
Yeah,
or
it would
anything,
have been
yeah.
really interesting if instead of her finding out that he hadn't done it to her,
Yeah.
if Wells had found out and then concealed that information, like said he was going to
Yeah.
go tell her and then actually sent her off.
Yeah.
I think that would have probably been a better way to do it and like have all the same sort of material in the show.
Definitely. Well, what did you think of Eiling?
Oh, I really liked the character. I thought he's like totally an archetype stereotype, but I thought that the actor super looks the part. Also, I thought he like delivered really well. I thought that his interactions with everyone were really convincing, especially with Wells, and also like his whole speech at the end about how we could have victory. Totally, like I felt that he really believed that, even though it's like a crazy idea that like you can just blow things up and then people will just not that America would somehow
Yeah.
win the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I really liked Isley.
One thing I wanted to say about Eiling was that I think it was
Eiling.
what?
I keep saying Isley because someone said
Yeah,
the word Isley to me
yeah.
earlier.
No, but one thing I really liked about him was so he's played by the actor who voiced Flash and Lex Luthor on the Justice League cartoon.
That's hilarious.
Which was so like hearing that voice, I was like, "That's Lex Luthor!" And then I found out it was also Flash, and I was like, "Whoa, this is weird."
Yeah, it's the fun thing about animated TV shows. You can hire like a quarter of the cast because they're voice actors, so they're used to changing their voices.
Yeah, totally. So I liked. I also liked Cisco's humor in the episode.
I found it a little creepy.
Yeah.
I felt like, especially at the end when he's like totally devastated, like he's way more devastated than anyone else that
Yeah.
she's gone. Like he knew her for like, what, a day? And like, yeah, sure, he thinks that she's really attractive, but I found it to be, yeah.
I don't know. The humor with him going too far and then like Barry being like, and then I think some
Yeah, no, yeah, Caitlin says,
Yeah.
I know how to perform a
Yeah, I thought
lobotomy.
that was
That was
hilarious.
great. That was great,
I
but
guess
like,
I guess what I meant is the humor surrounding Cisco, and I
yeah,
thought
I
that was
mean,
a really good
it,
point.
yeah, I mean, also, obviously, it's all contained in a single arc, so it's not that big a
Yeah.
deal. But if like she had been on for like three or four episodes or
Yeah.
something, I would have been pretty uncomfortable with his just sort of like complete objectifying of her.
And then, probably my favorite part of the episode at the very end, with the continue. I mean, we'd already seen Grodd's cage in the pilot.
Yeah, like we sort of like we had an idea that he might be on the show, but we like I totally thought that they were just sort of like teasing it and never gonna do it.
Yeah, me too.
Because it's like I, you know, kind of hoped, but I wasn't like willing to be like, oh, they're gonna do Gorilla Grodd, because that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is gonna be interesting. I like really strongly doubt they're gonna do Gorilla City. It's I think they're just gonna have him be an isolated character who gets like, you know, super intelligent because of the explosion. But yeah,
I mean, it's
just
gonna be
because it'll
really
be really
hard to
expensive
do.
to do.
It's gonna be really hard to do this justice, but the fact that they're having the balls to go there and try it just made me really excited, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the networks are investing a lot of money into these shows,
And it's really paying
finally.
off on
It's super,
this. I mean, this
yeah.
is their highest rated show. So,
Yeah,
I mean, that's pretty
and
great.
yeah, it's really paying off in this show, so that's great.
Let's talk about Iris, because for me, pretty much all of Iris's stuff is negative. It's not that I dislike the actress. I think she's doing a good job, and even the character was sort of like what she was saying and doing, I like understood, and I didn't have an issue with. I mean, I just don't like her role on the show. It's so Lois Lane. It's so stereotypical, tropey. The whole, secret identity of it all is just, I'm sick of it, especially in this situation. The whole idea is, I can't tell her about my identity because she'll be in danger. But by doing this and putting her name on it, she's already in danger.
Yeah, no,
So.
he should definitely just tell her. I think that she got some good development. I think that she was like asking totally reasonable questions. I actually had a generally pretty positive reaction to her character. I do think that the others were making dumb decisions, especially because they brought it up. Like Barry says, you know, the only way she's gonna be safe is if we tell her, and Joe's like, yeah, I know, but don't.
Yeah, okay, so the more I think about it, the more it's like, this ep- I mean, in pr previous episodes, I didn't really like Iris that much. This episode, she was fine. I guess her plot line really bored me and just felt, like, really overdone. And, I mean, my dad has said a few times, and I agree with him, that she is very similar to she's like a combination of the characters of Lana and Chloe on Smallville, because Chloe was like this intense reporter, and Lana was the love interest. And so it's just like, I really feel like I've been there, done that, and it's not engaging for me.
I thought that one of my cons was the repeated question of like, how fast do I have to go to da 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 da? Because like, it's not like he's wearing a speedometer. He should just go as fast as he can to do it, and like that seems way more reasonable. Like maybe ask, can I run up a building? And then if you go fast enough,
I mean, the thing is,
that would be
I half liked it because of the idea of them doing the math. It would have worked better if he had like a thing in his headset or something that showed him, and he was like trying to get higher and higher up to that number, you
like an
know?
HUD. Yeah, except I really don't want that graphic in this
Yeah,
show.
that's true. But yeah, no, I get where you're coming from.
The opening and closing monologues of this particular episode especially really, really strongly reminded me of Scrubs.
Okay, yeah, I
Yeah,
could see
like there's just
that.
like, you know, you have these friends who are super great, and then you have
That's
other friends who will just never know
a
you love
really
them.
good point. To me, it's from the beginning, the narration has always just reminded me of the early Spider-Man movies. But the Scrubs thing, I totally
Yeah,
see.
no, but this episode in particular, because he's like talking about friendship,
Yeah.
I was like, is that Zach Braff?
That's funny. We should
And
probably move on unless you have anything big.
I just want to say, it blew up, dude. That was a great line.
Oh yeah,
But
that whole thing. Oh, I forgot about that whole thing. That was
yeah,
great.
just the part where
With the suit
Cisco
blowing
is
up.
getting really angry about his suit, and I thought all the dialogue in that scene was like the way they did the voicing for especially Barry and Cisco was so great because they're both just being like dudes in their 20s instead of like being these sort of like really serious scientists and superhero guys. It was like, nah, dude, that blew up. And then she's like, no, I have two and I liked that one the most.
Yeah, no, that was all really great. All right, let's get to Arrow. This is an interesting episode. I would probably give it around a B plus. It was a hard one for me to grade. What did you think?
I give it a B plus, A minus. The first time I watched it, I loved it. I gave it an A. I was like, this is an A or an A plus episode. And then when I rewatched it, I still really liked it, but I picked up on more of the issues in it. Everyone else really hated this episode. I looked it up on IGN and the AV Club, and of
I mean,
this
it wasn't the
over the last.
episode that I wanted, and I know I saw a lot of comments on IGN because IGN gave it a bad grade, being like, you shouldn't grade it based on the episode you want, you should grade it on the episode that they gave you. And I get that because it wasn't. I think a lot of people's issue was that this wasn't really the Roy episode. I thought the guilty stuff, like the entire thing, might all be connected to the Mirakuru still doing stuff. I thought it was all going to be about Roy, and he was kind of in the back seat.
That's true. It ended up being a Wildcat intro episode.
Which, I mean, okay, so my first pro is that I think they did a great job with him. I think, he has a great, interesting backstory that I really liked.
I mean, I didn't know this character before Arrow, but I've read a little bit in like comments and stuff about how people have been complaining because Wildcat is typically a much older person. But I don't care. I think that it's great. I think that he's also a much more interesting potential love interest for Laurel
Like,
than
not anyone.
than anyone, especially Ollie. I mean, like Ollie, partly because we've been there, done that, and like I really don't want it ever to go there again. But also, just I think that their relationship, as it currently exists, is really interesting, and I actually am on board for down the line romance.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, yeah, so I knew about Wildcat, but he wasn't someone that I knew a lot about. And yeah, it's funny you bring up the old thing, because I mentioned, oh, Dad, Wildcat is, on here. And he goes, is he old? And I go, no. And he goes, ah,
You should have your dad on a
brr,
podcast. That'd be
brr. That would be
great.
funny.
I would love to hear
Yeah.
that.
I mean, yeah, because, I mean, I get it that, especially, there aren't that many older superheroes, and it's like, I get if you were an older person being like, they make them all young, they make them all attractive young people, I get that. But I think that I loved that he used to be a vigilante instead of him. I was expecting him to become Wildcat. The fact that he used to be Wildcat
Yeah,
is a
that's really
lot more
cool.
interesting to me.
And also, I think that it's really interesting that they did that, and they did that with a character who's bringing in Latino heritage and is also from this area, and that they also established that the gang culture in that area is based in Latino culture in this ep like they didn't really ever do that before, but they've established it in this episode, and I think that works. And I'm glad that the main depiction of a Latino character on the show is positive.
Let's talk about the most important thing, though, which is the boxing glove.
Oh man. Oh man, I freaked out. Like that was bigger for me than even Grodd. I was like,
No, it was amazing.
I texted Dan actually, people of the internet. I texted Dan. I was like, it happened. It happened.
Oh my God, it was really great. It was funny because I was watching. I had paused the episode on my DVR, and so you texted that a little ahead of time, and I was like, "What's gonna happen? What's gonna happen?"
Oh, I'm so
And
glad that I didn't like actually write it out as a full
that,
sentence.
that was funny. No, that was the fact that they managed to do it and do it in a way that makes sense in this world was just awesome. It was just so fluid and quick, and in and out, and it was really great.
There were actually several things in this and in Flash that the rest of which I can't remember, but I remember thinking there were a bunch of things that were really well written in terms of like making it so it wasn't like we're gonna go to the boxing ring that we've never been to before, and then oh no, some bad guys come. No, there's a boxing glove in my arrow. Boom! It was like just re it was super seamless. It was like a place where there would be a boxing glove that has been established, like not the place, but the character's
Ability.
boxing has been established in several earlier episodes. Yeah, it was just brilliantly done.
And I just want to say, so I really do like Ted a lot. I thought Laurel was a lot better this episode than a
Yeah,
couple episodes,
definitely.
past episodes.
She's also getting a lot more muscle tone,
Yeah,
which is great.
it is great. Yeah, she's definitely has, the biceps and everything. She's still like she's kind of top heavy at this point, but
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. Also, we're used to Black Canary being played by Sarah, who's just a generally larger person. She's not as slight.
Yeah, I am interested to see. So we should mention that they showed images online of Laurel in the Black Canary costume. I wasn't a huge fan, but I am totally willing to wait and see what it looks like in motion in the right lighting,
I mean, I think that it looks fine. And I also definitely think, especially because they're definitely now giving her the blonde wig, that there's going to be at least a one person, probably Ollie, and maybe I was thinking Roy before I saw this episode, but definitely Ollie
Thinking
is
that
going to
it's
see
Sarah.
her out in the world and then think that it's Sarah. May actually maybe because it was made clear in this episode that Ollie knows that she's trying to
That's
follow in her
true.
footsteps, so probably not.
So, okay, let's talk about Roy a little bit. First, I want to say that I enjoyed the Roy and Felicity scenes, that we haven't really seen that dynamic, and I like their bonding.
And all the Roy and Felicity scenes were great, but also though they were few and far between, I really liked the Roy and Ollie scenes. I felt like their connection, like I saw it described as sort of like halfway between paternal and brotherly. And I thought that that was a really good description of it, especially like the scene where he tells Roy to go get rested. I thought it was like really strong and just like made a lot of sense.
The one negatives that I do wish that we got more. It's just, the issue is that though they did a good job of paralleling the Ted story and the Roy story, I think that they both sort of got a little bit shortchanged because they were both really big stories that they had to get fit into the same episode, made it kind of tough. Because Roy and Ollie is a much bigger relationship that we really haven't seen that much of, it was kind of tough seeing so much time go to Ted.
Yeah, also they totally were manipulative in the promo last week because they created a line out of two of Laurel's lines that made it sound like she was going to go after Roy, which I thought was, like, fair enough. It's, marketing and it's a good idea to mess with people that way. But I was, like, in some ways a little bit bummed that that didn't happen. It would have been neat to see what would happen if, like, Laurel goes after Roy without telling Ollie, and then Ollie finds out that it definitely wasn't Roy. Or figures out that that's what's happening, and then it like has to go stop Laurel.
I'm just mostly bummed that this is how it went with Roy, that Roy has nothing to do with Sarah's death, because that would have connected his big arc with something that was much more central to the major arc of the thing, would have connected him with Laurel's arc more interestingly. I am happy that he at least actually did kill someone and is actually getting like an emotional important story, but it's a
Yeah,
lot
no.
more disconnected now.
Yeah, and like also, I sort of disagree. I think that they could have brought it to a really interesting place if Roy had actually killed her. But like now that question is still there. And also, I think they made it enough of a question in this episode. Like it wasn't answered right at the beginning, and then we like got convincing evidence that it was him. I thought that made it sort of worth it, in terms of like the playing with it. I do wish we'd gotten a little bit more focus on Roy this episode. I think he's been sort of shortchanged. And also, I think that we got to see some of Colton Haynes' acting chops in this
Yeah, I
episode,
agree with you there
which makes
too.
me bummed out because it makes me realize how underutilized he's been. Because I sort of thought that they were cutting him down in terms of screen time and dialogue
Because of its ability.
because of his ability, but now it seems like, oh, he's actually good and has good chemistry with Stephen Amell.
One thing I really didn't like about this plot was how they handled Diggle. And
Yeah,
I
he's wearing
called
that
it
stupid ski mask again.
my issue was that I call it a plot hammer, which is basically I've heard other people use this term before. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't think it's official, but it's just like something I've heard other people use, which
Plot
is
hammer.
when you hammer a character out of who they usually are so that they fit into the plot. And that it just didn't feel right to me that he'd be like, you should just give up on him because, because even if it was real, even if Roy actually killed Sarah, he was out of his mind on a drug that like he was forced to take by somebody else,
Yeah, the
and
other.
like
Sorry, go
it
ahead.
just seems it just didn't feel. Diggle is almost always the voice of reason, so it just felt like they needed someone to say that so that Ollie could be really great when he didn't do it.
Yeah, one thing that sort of turns that around that I did read as a criticism that I hadn't thought of that like is really valid is Oliver is extremely like ridiculously angry and wary of Ted throughout the episode, and like actually I had a huge issue with everyone like suspecting Ted when he had a legitimate
Alibi?
complete alibi. Like there is literally no chance that he killed that guy, which means that the police have no case.
No, I agree.
At least in that murder, and then all the other murders are obviously tied to it. It's like
No,
that
I agree with you.
proves it to be a frame job. So it was just no. But the thing that makes it like weird is because Oliver is so angry at Ted for what he thinks is him killing a man 6 years ago. What
Which
was
is,
Oliver doing 7 years ago or whatever,
yeah, no,
ten
I wrote that as a
ago?
negative too. It's ridiculous that he's trying to take the moral high ground when he's killed like hundreds of people.
He killed 100.
He's killed. He killed like about five people in the pilot.
No, that's true.
I mean, like, no, actually, way more than five. He probably killed about 16 people in the pilot. I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the stuff that he did in season one is kind of a shackle that the show like ha like just
Is
has
trying
to.
to shake
Yeah,
off
it
at this
has to
point.
because I mean, season one, I liked Arrow season one, even though it was flawed. But it was like this is ridiculous. Like he's literally like Dexter level mass murderer.
Yeah, no, it's definitely an issue. It's an issue that I've only really, the only time I've seen it like dealt with in the way that I would hope that a real world type person would deal with it is on Angel when Faith turns herself into jail and
Yeah.
like goes to actually face what society has agreed is the punishment for committing those types of
Yeah.
crimes.
And I think that it was an issue, it was just that it was the tone of the show didn't fit what was happening. Like, you could have a show like that. You could have a Punisher show where he was about doing that, but you would deal with it in a more dark, serious way where you don't know whether you're supposed to how you feel about the main character. Whereas, I mean, Oliver, you're almost always supposed to be on his side even though he was doing this. I did enjoy that Tommy was against the whole idea of him being a serial killer, but like it still had an issue.
Yeah, and like Laurel was for a while too.
Yeah.
Like everyone who found out, like, and Diggle was too,
Yeah,
didn't he?
I think he probably
Yeah,
was.
which
It
is
didn't last
why,
very long, though.
which is also why it's so strange that Diggle would. Actually, that's why it's like less strange to me. It's still weird, but it's
Yeah.
less strange to me that Diggle was like, we can't hold them to one set of rules and us to another set of rules. You made a decision that we're not gonna, that you're not killing anybody, and this group of people doesn't kill anybody.
Yeah. No, but
It doesn't make
it
sense
wasn't even
because it
remotely
wasn't
his
him.
fault. It wasn't even remotely his fault. He was forced to take those
No,
drugs.
like that's
Yeah.
why it's still
Yeah.
weird and makes no
Yeah.
sense.
Let's so
But
there's two last
that's
things.
like the lesser thing.
There's two last things that I think we should get to because I'm trying to keep us sort of on time. We're just going to go a little bit over what I wanted to do, but let's talk about Hong Kong, let's talk about Cupid.
So Hong Kong, I did not have, I mean, I'm upset that we're back there,
Yeah.
but I didn't have a huge issue with it this episode because it was short. It was strongly, it had a driving connection to the main plot, and we actually got some time with Katana, whom I'm hoping becomes a much more important character.
So my feelings are that it being short is a negative thing, because we're now so many episodes in, and there literally still is like nothing going on there. And I think we need an episode where the Hong Kong flashbacks are a little bit longer, because I feel like nothing's happening there. And yes, I'm glad that it at least connected back this week, but it still was not enjoyable when it was
Sure.
happening, you know. And I still don't agree with how Katana's acting towards him, because.
I completely disagree with you on that.
Yeah.
So say what you think about her
Yeah, I
reaction, and
mean,
then I'll say
personally,
please.
I think it makes no sense that he's being so harsh towards Oliver when Oliver is literally murdering people to protect her family, and that it, I mean, if there's anything that a person can do to earn your trust and at least your grudging respect, it's do things they really don't want to do to save your child. I'm not, she doesn't have to like him, but why is she being mean? I just don't get it.
I think it's because she's not just mad at Oliver, she's also really mad at her husband
Yeah.
for putting them in the situation where that she feels like she sort of has to stay in because she's married to her husband and also because like they're in, mortal peril now.
Yeah.
And Oliver is a symbol of the danger that's in her family, and she has no particular reason to trust that Oliver won't try to run away again, except for Oliver's good faith, except for the fact that Oliver is probably a good enough person to not put her
Yeah.
family above
Okay.
himself. But, it's still, it's like he represents a risk that her entire family could be
Okay, so
murdered.
you've convinced me that I get why she's doing it, that's understandable that she feels that way, but it does not endear me to her character.
Oh, no, sure.
Yeah,
We're not supposed to
yeah,
like her character, but I
yeah.
completely understand her
Yeah.
hostility.
Let's talk about Cupid, because I didn't get a chance to rewatch it, but I heard that Cupid was hidden throughout multiple scenes this
Yeah.
episode and even past episodes.
I didn't go back and watch past episodes,
Yeah.
but I was looking for her the one time. I think that she's only in one time this episode,
Okay.
but maybe multiple. I just missed it. She's definitely outside the gym when after the person is killed in the gym.
Yep.
When Laurel is walking outside to go meet up with Ollie, she's standing outside with looking at police tape, and she's like smiling and wearing red. So
Yeah.
like people who knew who had been noticing her would totally pick up on it. In my research on Wikipedia
Yeah.
of the Arrow character, I've actually done a little bit of research in Cupid.
Yep.
I think that she's going to be a really interesting character to have to bring up. I think that she definitely risks being a super terrible representation of women.
Yeah. Well,
But
I'm worried
I
that she's
still,
is she how is she gonna be different from Huntress? That's my question.
because Huntress is driven by revenge against her father, right?
Yeah.
Cupid is a, and I don't like using this word about women, but she's a crazy fangirl
Yeah.
who thinks that, who's become obsessed with Oliver as an icon,
Okay.
and what she does in the comics is she kills criminals that she knows Oliver is trying to capture in the hopes of gaining his
Favor.
favor and love.
Yeah.
And also, I know that it was super corny, but I loved her line where she says, "I'm Cupid, stupid." I
Yeah.
really liked that. And also, one other thing is the music that they started playing when she appeared was incredibly on point. I really liked it, and I hope that they keep using that theme.
Yeah. All right. So you've convinced me that that sounds pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it
I was
might
just
seem
I was mostly
terrible,
just
but
like, oh goody, a sixth Archer that we're seeing this season. That's gonna
yeah.
be great. But the actress seems likable and interesting, and
It's also.
I already like the actress more than I like the Huntress actress. So that's
Yeah.
something.
Yeah, I think she's sort of like a Harley Quinn character, but she's trying to be a Harley Quinn to the Arrow instead of to a
Joker.
Joker type
All right.
character.
Which, I mean,
And
given that the show also has a number of other positive female representations, it helps.
yeah, for sure. It's also interesting in a lot of the stuff she sometimes uses a bow and arrow, but doesn't always. She often uses guns because she's like, she's going for a kill.
Yeah.
So it's going to be interesting to see how she progresses. I bet that it's something along the line of she takes out a whole bunch of people that Ollie has given to the police,
Yeah.
and then Ollie goes after her. Yeah.
I feel like I read that she was created by one of the creators of the one of the showrunners of the show that she that he had written a run of Arrow and that and of Green Arrow and that he created her in the comic.
Yeah, I
So
think
yeah.
yes, that is
Yeah.
true.
So let's wrap it up unless you have any last things.
I really liked when Roy told, like, fessed up, because it's so rare that people like straight up tell the truth when they should,
Yeah.
like on TV in general. And also, I thought a really it was a big moment of strength for Roy.
Yep.
Oh, and the other thing that's weird though is remember all the forensic evidence that did match?
Yeah.
If it
So
was him, then it was
it's
Fleck.
someone with super strength.
Yeah, and
Which
like
means
I.
that if they're probably gonna try to make it look like it was Cupid next week, but it can't be Cupid because of the super strength thing.
Yeah, and like the I think it might be Ra's al Ghul still, because he could hypothetically have just come out of the Lazarus pit and be really strong. Or God forbid it's Slade Wilson.
Yeah, that's what I was
But
thinking.
I don't think they're stupid enough to do that.
Well,
Nobody wants to see that.
I am getting nervous. I'm getting there. I was pretty excited about Roy, but I feel like we're running out of people that are interesting. Unless they could have a thing where like Theo was under Mirakuru and did it. Like I just don't know. I don't want it to be Ra's al Ghul. That's not interesting. I don't want it to be Slade. That's not interesting. And I don't want it to be someone we've never seen before. So yeah.
Also, we're only 6 episodes into the season.
Yeah.
Like, and it's a 22-episode
Yeah.
season.
I still really hope either Amanda Waller or Thea is behind it.
Yeah, I bet it's actually it might be a member of the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, it could totally be a Suicide Squad member controlled by Amanda.
Yeah, and remember, next week is episode 7, and then you know what they say about episode 7? Just that it's usually a huge turning point in most TV shows.
I really thought you were gonna make a weird joke there, and I was like,
No.
what?
So we're actually it's the a lot has happened,
Yeah.
but we're actually still really early in the season.
Yeah.
We're
Yeah, but that's not
not
the
even.
I mean that but it's still because it feels like a lot has happened and they're dragging it feels like the beginning to drag out this plot and I do not want this plot to last until the
Yeah.
finale.
You know the actually like you mean the Sarah plot?
Yeah, well
Oh.
I don't want the whodunit to last 22
I
episodes.
bet you we get the whodunit by episode 15 at the latest.
I think we get it by the winter finale and then it's about getting them.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But the thing that need, in response to your thing about Hong Kong,
Yeah.
I only liked it that it was short because
You don't like
that's
it.
that story, this particular story of this episode,
Yeah.
needed to be that short,
Yeah.
so it wasn't distracting.
Yeah.
I do agree that I need to do a good episode in Hong Kong
Yep.
that where it's long and like you get a lot of detail,
Yep.
but it has to be a good story, which there hasn't been any evidence for the existence of yet.
Yep.
So yeah,
All
all
right.
right.
We
We should close out.
we should close out. All right, so if you want to contact us, you can do so at SSJPod on Twitter.
You can also reach us at smallscreenjustice@gmail.com or check out our blog at smallscreenjustice.wordpress.com.
Yeah, and please check us out on iTunes. We actually got our first review. I'm not going to read it today because it's about Gotham, so I'm going to save it for the Gotham. whenever we do the next Gotham podcast. But thank you so much for giving us the review. Anybody else out there, we'd love to hear ratings, reviews, comments, criticisms. Please subscribe to us.
Send it to us on the tail of a boxing glove arrow.
I see the way you take care of your city. Who takes care of you?
I'm gonna find you.
That's the idea. Hello, lover.
Never gonna happen.
One night with me, that'll all change.